This episode is brought to you by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, get matched with up to three top selling agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock of the Money podcast, episode 65. Whoa. Time talking about saving, investing, and protecting all those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda, a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate agent. And we're so grateful you've joined us. Call us right now with your questions, comments, 989-888-ROCK. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or our website at rockonthemoney.com. How you doing, Amanda?
Good. One comment. Actually, I have a couple. But first, you really went through that intro fast. So I hope our listeners are awake.
That's true. I did. I kind of flew through that one.
So. Yes.
It's the coffee. I'll go with that.
Second, for those of you who are listening live on Facebook while we're recording, thank you so much for your patience while Craig struggled through some technical. All kidding aside, he does an amazing job pulling things together to make this happen for everyone. So good job, Craig.
Well, and then third, that one down. That was a compliment.
It was a compliment. And then third, so this week's been interesting. We found out about a week ago that my son's school, his college, is going back to campus this fall.
Really?
Much to my, you know, displeasure.
Mom. I get it.
Yeah. But only half of his classes are on campus. The other half are online, which I said, what is the point of that if everyone still has to go cram into the dorms and cram into the one cafeteria? It's like everyone's still going to be in one petri dish. Yeah. So we decided that he should look for an apartment off campus. Well, I say we decided. He decided. I just strongly encouraged.
That's a good idea. At least you're more control, right? Is that what your thinking was?
Yeah. And because only a portion of his classes are on campus, he can just go for those classes and then immediately leave the petri dish and go back to his own space and, you know, do his studying from there and not have to wear a mask constantly, because the rules were pretty strict. Everyone who's on campus has to wear a mask the entire time, unless they're going to the bathroom or even while they're going to the bathroom, but unless they're showering or brushing their teeth or eating. Those are the only three times you can take a mask off. Wow. So that sounds intense. Yeah. So now it'll be a little less stressful. Also less distractions. He does really well academically when he's not constantly distracted by friends. So
I think I'm the same way.
So the good news is I'm so proud that he actually qualified for an apartment all on his own. I didn't even have to co-sign or anything. So that was pretty exciting for us. We're very excited that he's getting his first apartment. It'll be official real soon once they receive a security deposit.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's my exciting news for the week. How about you, Craig?
I actually am making a list of everything I want to do because I was just like...
Like before you die?
Well, since I'm retired, I think that's pretty similar. Yeah. When you're in retirement, you're basically, you know, what can I get done before I die? Well, you're all about making lists, right?
Yes.
And so being COVID-19 and being furloughed and all this stuff, and I'm probably going to be off work for another 18 months, I'll probably not go back. I'm done. But I'm making a list of what are my things I need to do. Not need, air quotes, but what do I want to accomplish? So one of the things that I found, which I thought was really helpful for everybody else, was that Google this week, or last week actually, announced that they're offering three courses taught by their employees, and it's a certificate course in three different topics. One was project management. I think another one, data analytics, and user interface design. And if you take that course, pass it, and you apply for a job at Google, it's considered a four-year degree by taking a 3 to 6 month course. Obviously, you're being trained by Google for Google, but other people report, I didn't realize they did this before. People reported they used it at their own employment, got a raise, were able to, you know, get promoted because of these little certifications. So
what's your plan? Are you going to go apply it?
I was thinking about taking that project management course.
Okay. I thought you already are a project manager.
in my own world.
Oh, okay.
I taught courses for planning and all that, but there was no like formal, I mean, it was for emergency management, not for in general. And
right.
I think right. I know the basics. I would like to have the formal thing with it. Okay. Or I could work at Google.
But yeah. I hear they've got great perks.
The point of all that was while you're off work, not working or furloughed or whatever, the number one question, apparently, from what I understand from job interviews right now is, what did you do during COVID-19 while you're at home? And it's an open question. And they're looking to see, did you improve yourself? Did you take some online courses? Did you learn a new skill? I've heard that from whether people like these people or not. Mark Cuban said that, Mr. Wonderful. Sure. But big millionaire gazillionaires are all saying that is the number one job interview question currently. So
yeah, they're looking to see that you did more than just sit on the couch and watch The Price is Right.
Right. Where's my bell? Absolutely. Binge watch Netflix. Yeah. Anyway, what we got? Hey, this, you know,
episode? doesn't it feel like The Tiger King was like years ago? Speaking of Netflix. All right. Anyway,
and I still have never watched it. By the way, yeah, I'm the only person that's never watched Tiger King. Anyway, what we got?
All right.
This podcast?
you're not missing much. All right. Yeah. So this episode, we have a number of social media questions. So thanks for our social media crew who continue to give us great content. And then our Savvy Savings segment today is financial illiteracy is affecting your income. So illiteracy.
Mm-hmm. Illiteracy. There's a lot of that going on. At no fault to anyone's, they don't teach it in schools. And
yeah.
Unless you go out on your own. And then if you get it from salespeople, that's not learning about financial independence. Lots of questions in our Facebook group regarding financial stuff, whether it's whole life, combining their insurance with like disability insurance with whole life built into it. All kinds of crazy things going on. Cancer insurance. And here's some more questions for you. Here's question number one, Amanda. You ready?
Oh, I thought you'd want to share this podcast review.
Oh, we do have one, don't we? Yeah. This is a short one from Oh My Meesh. Oh my Meesh. Simply amazing. I think they're talking about you, Amanda. This podcast is one of the best.
Yes.
I disagree.
I agree.
Yes, I agree with you. It is to the point, easy to listen to in the car, relaxing at home. Craig and Amanda, why are you laughing?
Because today it was not to the point. It took like 20 minutes to get to the point, but...
Yes.
I appreciate
that. What a lot of people don't realize is when we record the podcast, I ramble and then I cut it all out in the edit. Yeah. It ends up on the floor. Craig and Amanda are a wealth of knowledge. We really appreciate that review over on Apple Podcast. And if you could take the time to go over there and leave us a review, it does help us out a lot. It really does. Yeah. If you want to give back to us, all you got to do is post reviews and share. That's all we ask. You won't have to buy anything. We're free. So,
all right, on to the questions.
Yeah, social media question one from our Facebook group. Curious what the real difference is between Roth and a pre-tax 401k. I'm allowed to contribute both, but not sure what to do.
Okay. All right. This is a common question.
Yes.
The difference between a Roth and a pre-tax 401k is simply how the taxes are applied to each. So pre-tax 401k is exactly how it sounds. It means you're contributing to that fund before your income is taxed. So it has not yet been taxed. It's going into that bucket for retirement money without having ever been taxed. So I know I repeated that, but it's important. The Roth instead is something that you contribute to after you've paid payroll tax on that money. So that money has already been taxed. So the result of that is that when you go to retire and you're withdrawing the funds, anything you take out of your pre-tax 401k is at that point in time going to be taxed. So you might contribute, you know, a couple, maybe $100,000 and you have millions. Now you're going to pay tax on millions. If you have it in a Roth instead, when you go to withdraw it, there's no tax to pay on it because you've already paid that income tax. So that's the huge difference. And it can be hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars in savings in the future if you decide to contribute to a Roth now versus paying your tax later.
My generation, we didn't have Roth available. So I'm in that camp where I have a lot of money in traditional, and I either roll it over and start paying tax on it, or I'm going to pay the piper later on.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And so you can do that, or you can, I mean, when you do retire, if you aren't able to roll over throughout and pay your tax, you know, before you get to retirement, then I would use that pre-tax retirement fund before touching your Roth, so you can let that tax-free money continue to grow while you pay taxes at an earlier age.
Yep.
And the other thing I would say is a lot of people make the argument that it's better to bring your income tax bracket down today so you pay less in taxes. The math there doesn't quite work, and I've seen a number of people try and argue the math, but ultimately, think about it this way, that I'd rather pay a little bit of tax now versus a lot of tax later. And the amount of money that it would save you on taxes today is very little, because we are in a progressive tax bracket.
Absolutely. And a lot of people get company matches out there. Your company match will always, Amanda hates that word, always be in your traditional bucket, which is nice, because as you're putting money into your Roth, you will have some traditional money sitting there, which you can use as soon as you retire, because you still have that 59 and a half rule with your Roth. Or, as many people do, even Dave Ramsey does, at the end of the year after your last paycheck, they convert that traditional into the Roth, pay the taxes once a year. So that's another strategy as well. So, yeah. So bottom line, one's done before payroll taxes, one's done after. And we are all Roth on that, on your payroll tax. I mean, in your paycheck.
Correct.
So there you go. Social media question two. Oh, this is a COVID overseas question. You ready for this one?
Sure.
Wow. So due to COVID, I am stuck overseas, not knowing when I will be able to return. That, okay, are they better off?
Maybe.
I am currently not working and need a job as soon as possible. Are there any home jobs that I can do being overseas? I don't want to spend all my savings over here.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, that's definitely challenging.
So a home-based business that, are you wanting to do a home-based business for the United States customer, or you want to do one in your country? Because that, I don't know anything about the other countries trying to do a business with the taxes and
yeah, it's actually very challenging, and it could be illegal in a number of countries. So, and it would impact your visa status as well.
What you mean, because of making an income over there? And yeah, I don't know. Right. Anyway, yeah. That's a loaded question. Now, if you want to do something for the Americans, because I assume you are an American, you could do consulting, teaching, coaching, any kind of thing like that. You can do over webcam and just schedule it easily using Skype, Meet on Google. Yeah. I schedule all my coaching sessions using Google. All the tools are free. Google Calendar. I set up a calendar where people that they can go to that calendar, pick a time slot. I get notified. They get automatically assigned to a Google Meet video conference, which I don't know why Google does not advertise their tools more.
Yeah.
Because their video conferencing is very good. It's very secure, but they let everybody else just railroad them on all their tools. It just doesn't. Anyway, it makes it easy for me to do that. Then all my coaching documents are on Google Drive. I share them with the email notification. It's all like done automated. It's so easy.
I would say, though, you still have to be very careful. Even doing things remotely is considered working in those countries. So even like my online teaching for the university, one part of the contract is you have to be within the United States during the term that you're teaching. You can't be living in another country and doing it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So even if the servers and everything are in the U.S., it doesn't matter. If you're actually performing the work from another country, you're going to want to look into those tax laws and also make sure that your visa doesn't get put in jeopardy.
Gotcha. Social media question three.
Okay.
Ooh, I like this one. I heard you mention fee-only financial planners. What is that, Amanda? We have 9 accounts, all with Vanguard. I want someone to review the investments to be sure I'm on a good path. Don't want anyone trying to sell me on a product, which is exactly what a fee-only advisor is. Do you want to take a stab at that one?
So fee only means that they're getting a flat rate for the assistance that they provide to you. So this means that you pay them one fee. They'll tell you up front what that fee is, and they're not getting commissions on anything that you purchase, and they have no interest in whatever it is that they're guiding you to purchase. Anything to add, Craig?
No, that's basically what it is. I keep running into people who have an advisor, and I guess they're very friendly. They're nice and kind and all that. And if I go to investor.gov, which I recommend everyone, take your advisor, whoever you're listening to, type in their name at investor.gov. It's run by the federal government, Securities Exchange Commission. It tells you what their certifications are. One key way to know if there's a potential of that person selling you something and them making money off of what they told you is if it says advisor, and then there's a second certification called broker. They could, by law and be legal, that they could sit there and advise, look at everything, advise you on, oh, you need to be in this fund, you need to go get this insurance, blah, blah, blah. And then they switch over to that broker hat and they don't need to tell you. And now they're making money on everything they just told you, even though they said they are a fiduciary. And we had a couple podcasts earlier in July talking about this was coming, and a lot of companies operate that way. I don't want to go through the names of these companies. A lot of them have persons' names involved in them, you know, Ed,
yeah,
Mr. Jones, stuff like that. So you got to be really, really careful. I know they're nice. They send you Christmas cards and all that, but you really need to make sure they fully disclose how they make their money. Fee-only advisors only make money from the time that they offer you, similar to a lawyer, right?
Yes, sort of. It depends on what type of lawyer you have.
There you go.
It depends. Yes.
Yes, it depends.
So, Craig, where can people find these fee-only advisors? I know you have some great sites to send people to.
Yes, I have two great places to go to. And so does Consumer Reports, covers the same exact topic. They also mention the same thing. The NAPFA, National Association of Professional Financial Advisors.org. And they have to sign an oath and everything like that. They only charge by the hour. They make nothing off of any of the securities or anything they recommend. The other one is the Garrett Planning Network, which Consumer Reports talk. I love Consumer Reports, just like Costco.
Just like Costco.
We're not sponsored by either. Garrett Planning Network is the same thing. They only have fee-only advisors on that website. Just put in your zip code and they all come up right in your area. And you can interview a couple of them. They expect you to do that. And they have to disclose if they're going to make any money. And none of them are supposed to be. And if they do, you can report them. They'll be removed from the service. So we'll put that in the show notes.
I'm going to ask you the next question. Ooh. You have $100,000 and you can invest in one publicly traded company. What company do you choose and why?
Oh, my goodness. You know what? That's a good question.
First of all, we never do that, right? Because that's like putting all of your eggs in one basket.
Yeah, but that's a very good point. Let's clarify this. You should never buy only one single stock. That's really bad. None of you should be buying stocks unless you're maxed out in your 401k and IRA. Before.
It'd be like, so the reason we say that is look at what, and I don't know what the age demographic is of our audience. So this may age me, but look at what happened with Enron. All of those people had all of their retirement stuck into the Enron stock. And then when it went bust, everyone lost their entire retirement plan.
Yeah, there's a lot of airline employees that do that stuff, you know, the stock purchase programs. And then when those airlines bankrupt, like Eastern or Northwest, and gone. Nothing. Do your 401k first, then your IRA, then you can start doing all these other investments. But let's get back to the question. Now we've told them don't do this. If this is just we'll play what would you do? And I'm going to ask you to start thinking. This is easy for me. I'm a big tech investor and I only like to buy companies I would consider holding for 5 to 10 years. Okay. That's what you should be doing. A 10-year stock. So considering a 10-year stock, technology, Microsoft all day long, 100,000.
You stole my answer.
Well, it's the easiest answer.
Yeah.
It's the answer I've been telling the group. I've told the group this for like 4 or 5 years and a bunch of them made money off of that, by the way.
Yeah.
Multiple. Now, a lot of people would jump at Amazon. I would do that as well. I'm more concerned about Amazon and the federal government in the future, breaking them up. So the servers are one place, the stores another place. Microsoft's already been through the federal ringer, as I'm sitting here in front of the nation's capital on video. They've already been through the whole thing, which is why they missed out on the smartphone era. So they were late in that game and never had a chance. But Microsoft all day long, no problem. And
Amazon took a dip this week. Well, everything took a dip.
Yeah, Microsoft took a little dip too. But Microsoft still, long term, stock indexes always go up. Remember that, guys. I know Dave Portnoy says stocks always go up. That's not true. That depends.
That's not something I would say always about.
No. Now, indexes always go up. Indexes
over time.
Go up because yeah, over it's time. Containing all the stocks in there. Overall, it always goes up. Over time, correct. All right. Social media question 5. Ooh, we got a home question.
Okay.
Homeowner question. And you are a real estate guru. I need advice with my home. My home is 14 years old. I have foundation problems. Ooh. I need gutters. Ooh. I need a new roof. I need new windows. A sprinkler system. Oh, you have a sprinkler system.
No, I don't.
Oh, I thought you had one of those ground watering lawn things.
I have a sprinkler on a hose that my husband moves around. is that what you mean by system?
That's just as good. That's a good fix. Can I borrow him? I don't have the money right now to make all of these repairs. Wonder if I should get a home warranty in case I might need it. What are your thoughts on home warranty? I have about 4 years left on my mortgage.
Okay. So I have bad news for you. A home warranty is not going to cover almost anything you just listed off. There's so many exclusions. Home warranties are like if your refrigerator, you know, goes out. And usually you can only get a home warranty when you purchase a home, and it would cover like the next year of the purchase. So it's supposed to cover you in case, you know, you just got into a home and all of a sudden one of the appliances goes out. It's not intended, nor will it ever cover things like foundation repairs or a new roof. Those are things that you as a homeowner are responsible for and are expected to be saving money for those types of repairs, because every home is going to have home repairs.
Absolutely. And
it sucks for this person that they're all going to happen at once, but those are all very normal things to have to do with a home. It sounds like they've been putting some of these off for some time. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Something like I've been replacing things in my house. I basically have a new house now. I'm not leaving. It's already got the new roof. We talked about my Costco HVAC I installed, which was the best experience ever. I was just thinking about this yesterday, as I have a yet another problem with my Samsung refrigerator, by the way, Amanda. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad to see there's a class action suit building up for it.
Oh, is there? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Apparently, I'm not the only one. If you Google it, it's a common.
You're not.
No. I was thinking about all the costs. Like a refrigerator is like, you know, $2,000 to $3,000 if you get a decent one. I mean,
yeah, could be even more.
Yeah. I have one of those split door, then two drawers, one for the soda cans and the...
Yeah, you got the French doors.
Yeah, with the two bottom drawers, ones, all that. And water's leaking out of it. So the water line somewhere in there is broke. Anyway, if you take the cost of that, the roof I did, the HVAC I replaced, all the other maintenance you do, the caulking, all that, and the outside maintenance, I'm thinking, why the heck would I want to own a house at this point?
Well, and so that's exactly why when people are looking, oh, I could save money if I were just making a home payment instead of paying rent. That's not really the case. So if you're still in debt, getting into a new home, or I shouldn't say new, into a home, because I don't mean just new builds, but into a home, is not the money saver you think it's going to be, because these costs spring up all the time and you're expected to have a very large fund to take care of home repairs capital improvements.
Which gets to our baby steps of having that, that emergency fund, which is what you use to cover these costs. And then here's the thing that people do in baby step 3, which is 3 to 6 months of your expenses as an emergency fund. They use the money, but then they don't go back to 3 and fill it back up again. That's a common mistake.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm going to get I got money for my HVAC. I'll use the cash done. But then they don't go back to baby step three and build that 3 to 6 months back up and replace that over time to have your emergency fund. So anyway, but I was just sitting there thinking, I'm like, the rate that I've made money in this, the value of this house is nowhere near what my investing is. It's just, you know, it's nice. It does go up. It's a good investment, but yeah, it's not going to outperform anything else I do in the, in mutual funds and 401ks nowadays.
Yeah, that's my other thing to, my other favorite thing to argue with people about is those who feel so adamant that real estate's making them richer than the stock market.
We actually see that a lot.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be a real estate agent too.
Yeah.
So this should be question number six. Yeah. Can you recommend a basic financial education book? I have a friend that could use some help. Well, thank you for helping your friends, by the way. That's awesome. It still boggles my mind how many educated, intelligent people have no financial knowledge. I feel like this is a failure in our education system and parents. Wow. Yeah, so
this is actually a timely question because we're going to be talking about financial illiteracy in our next segment. But in terms of the book recommendations, we do have a link on our website for book recommendations. So you can go to rockonthemoney.com and click on, what is it, books?
Yep. /books. Yep.
/books. And we have a number of recommendations there. The first of those is the Dave Ramsey, The Total Money Makeover. And that's a great one to start with because it lays out the baby steps that Craig's been harping on forever. I would start there. It's very down to earth, and there are a number of examples, real life examples, that help drive home the point.
Some of the other books, Total Money Makeover is great. I think you included the Susie Orman book.
Yes.
9 Steps to Financial Freedom. I like the John Bogle book. He started Vanguard, by the way. The Little Book of Common Sense Investing, huge seller. The Minimalist Budget. Did you include that one?
Yes.
Chris Hogan.
The budgeting book.
There's two books I really like for you. I mean, a lot of people are getting upset with millionaires, people that have money. Yeah. There's two books that we have in the list that I really want you to look at to dispel rumors of what a millionaire is, because that's where we want everyone to be. Chris Hogan, which is who taught me how to be a financial coach, by the way. Everyday Millionaires is a great book. That one, I think, just came out like last year. It dispels all the rumors and who the real millionaires are. They're not the doctors, lawyers you think. They're teachers, police, fire, people that own their small business.
I think that's a great add-on book. I don't think it actually teaches you much on in terms of literacy, financial literacy, though. So I would stick with the Total Money Makeover and then the Susie Orman 9-step book as well.
Yeah. Another one that would be another add-on would be The Millionaire Next Door, to keep you from buying those new vehicles and all that stuff, trying to keep up with the Joneses. There's a lot of rumors out there, a lot of things that you're told by, I hate to be anti-corporate America, but they do want you to think a certain way because they're trying to sell products. So, So there you go.
Yeah. And as one of our listeners has mentioned, it's not really on the schools or the teachers that are doing this. They already have plenty of responsibility. But Craig, I know you've been an advocate who's been contacting a number of state legislatures, right, to get this into the system.
Yeah, at least in the state of Maryland. I've sent it to the governor several times. His assistants are reading my emails. So, but I do send to my local legislators. I just firmly believe that, and I've been researching this more as I develop our own financial literacy course that people can take in our Facebook group for free. There are states that do require high school seniors to take a small financial literacy course before they can graduate. That's what I want in the state of Maryland. I would like to see that everywhere. Before, as you said, they're signing away how much money for a college loan. They just, yeah. I mean, who would give an 18-year-old $100,000 that has no collateral, nothing?
Right.
Does not know anything of what to do with this $100,000 because they just want to go to their favorite school because they got a cool mascot and not really considering the impact they have on their life moving forward. So that's what that's all about. So just a short.
Thanks for keeping us honest, Wendy.
All right. When we come back, it's time for our queen with the purple hair. Mm-hmm. Her shirt on video, her shirt and hair match. That's awesome. When we come back, it's Savvy Savings with Amanda. You're listening to the Rock of the Money podcast.
Podcast is sponsored by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Eliminate your stress. Whether you're buying or selling your home, be sure you are working with an expert in your local area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com will match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of over 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're looking for a condo, new construction, fixer-uppers, mountain retreats, vacation properties, or a first-time home buyer, let Choice Realty Connect match you with the perfect top agent today. Choice Realty Connect is who I trust, and I know you will too. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Rockland, USA.
I'm glad you were looking at the chat. I wasn't looking at it.
Well, I need something to do when you're rambling.
Amanda's a great friend. She keeps me in line. All right, welcome back to Rock on the Money, episode 65. Wow. I'm totally amazed Amanda's still here after 65 episodes. When you started this, when we talked, and I was like, yeah, I really want to do this podcast. You didn't even know what a podcast was when you started this whole journey.
I generally knew what it was. I just wasn't listening to any.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm not completely living under a rock.
I think you're just so busy. Well, you don't commute. I think that's why you don't really listen to podcasts.
Yeah, my commute's very short. It's from my bedroom to here in my office.
As mine is to my new office that's all set up here and got a lot going on.
Look at your fancy chair.
I love my chair. My back pain completely gone. It was the best purchase. It was everything I wanted. I almost consider smoking every time I sit in it.
Oh my gosh.
It's that good. What you got for Savvy Savings today?
Well, today we're going to talk about financial illiteracy of Americans costing them their future.
Wow, right on the heels of that question number 6.
Yes. So this is taken from a CNBC article from earlier this year that was entitled, 50% of Americans don't know if it's better to invest in a single stock or a mutual fund. So this ties into a couple of our listener questions earlier this episode. A large majority of Americans are still stressed about their finances and would have trouble paying out of pocket for a minor emergency. Much of the problem can be attributed to financial literacy of not knowing how to properly handle money. So here's some statistics for everyone, even though they're super boring. More than 75% of Americans say they are stressed about their money. I actually would venture to guess that percentage is higher right now since this article came out in February.
I agree.
Next stat is 35.5% have less than $1,000 saved across checking, savings, retirement, oh my goodness, and other investment accounts. A great stock market and positive future doesn't mean much if you have no money to invest. That surprises me, Craig, that it, including even retirement funds, people don't have $1,000 saved.
And one of the things in the first phases of my coaching, we've talked about this. Don't close your eyes if you're driving, listen to the podcast. We'd laugh about that. But imagine 10 houses on your street, 7 of them fit right into this. Yeah. Actually fit in the first one. They're living paycheck to paycheck and they have nothing. And the fact that they have nothing in their savings, you said what, 35.5?
Yeah, that's more than a third.
With nothing. That's crazy.
Yeah, across checking, savings, retirement, or any other investment accounts. So, Craig, that actually comes back to baby step one, right?
Oh, yeah. $1,000 emergency fund, which is that stat right there.
Mm-hmm.
Nailed it.
Yep. And that's before you even do any retirement investing.
Or pay bills.
Or pay your bills. Yeah. So next, 50%, so half of Americans said they didn't know whether buying a single company stock usually provides a better return than investing in a mutual fund. So I think we talked about this earlier as well, right? Yeah. The whole Enron and airline example, that there's a lot more volatility in one single stock. So mutual funds are great because they give you diversification without you having to do that across your portfolio.
Yeah, I want to harp on that Chris Hogan book. But the whole basis of that book was they interviewed and studied 10,000 millionaires. Mm-hmm. A vast majority, over 90% of them, did nothing but mutual funds. They didn't go buy Penn National Gaming, or I don't want to say Shopify because that's a great stock. But they didn't go buy all these crazy stocks. They didn't get on Robinhood. They didn't do all that. They just took money out of their paycheck, boringly put it into index funds or stock mutual funds, growth stock mutual funds, and did nothing. Just went about their life and stayed out of debt and became a millionaire just like that. And people find it hard to believe it's that easy. It is. Yeah. But you need time. Time needs to be on your side. Anyway.
Yeah. And then over 35%, so again, about a third, could not answer the following question. This is a math question, people. At 2% interest rate, how much would $100 be worth after 5 years? So I think we're talking about a 2% annual interest rate, right?
It would be the power of compounding, I think, is what they're talking about.
Yeah. So the general wrong answer would be $550?
Yeah. So basically you make money. It's the power of compounding, which gets back to becoming a millionaire. The money you actually put in your 401k is not how you get up to the $1 million. It's you put in a little bit, and then over time it makes 8% this year. Then next year it's your balance plus 8 plus another 8. It just keeps compounding on itself, and that's what builds up, and that's how you make money.
Right. Yep. Because the first year you'd have, after 1 year, you'd have $510, and then you'd have 2% of 510 the next year. So that would be, more than 500.
More than, yeah, it just keeps compounding. Just like so a stock. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then for the record, mutual funds usually provide better returns than investing in a single company stock because this strategy spreads out risk. So I think we've beat that dead horse quite a bit. So this financial illiteracy can have some serious consequences, which is why we're including it in a savings segment, which is normally more, granular savings tips, which we'll get back to in one of our next episodes. But generally speaking, not understanding interest rates could mean paying more over the time with high interest products like credit cards. So that's a big one that we see a lot, is not understanding that, I've seen credit card rates as high as like 27%, not understanding that 27% will compound on a regular basis, and suddenly you're paying hundreds and thousands of dollars in interest.
And we've pointed out, when you go to Best Buy, and I'm not picking on Best Buy whatsoever, but that 0% financing on a refrigerator or a computer you get at the stores, and if you don't pay that after 90 days, the same as cash, it reverts to those 27s, those 30% interest rates. And people, if you can't afford it, don't buy it. That's basically what it's come down to.
Right. And then not knowing how important diversification is in investing could mean that Americans build less wealth over time. So again, that's the difference between investing in one single stock versus a well-balanced mutual fund or ETF. Do you want to say more about ETFs, Craig?
No, I have an ETF. One, it's an S&P ETF. I try and park that in there if I'm not trying. Remember, guys, I do some stocks because I'm fully funded and everything else. So if single stock starts scaring me, I kind of go into the broad ETFs, which is a mutual fund you can trade as a stock, is what that is. So
Right. So S&P 500 indexes, there are ETFs and there are also mutual funds. Mm-hmm. Very similar. And then there's no easy answer when it comes to fixing these problems. Banks and other financial institutions could do a better job offering financial literacy tools to their account holders, but consumers also have to want to learn and know the options available to them.
Absolutely.
So that's all I've got for you today.
Awesome. That was great. Nice little quick. It was almost like a topic, but it does round out everything that you've been talking about, savvy savings.
Yes.
By the way. Great segment. There's a lot of people. You get so many compliments, though.
Do I?
Yeah, you
I
do.
I don't really pay attention.
You're the one dispelling all the stereotypes for blondes out there in America. And I appreciate that.
Well, I don't know what you call someone with purple hair.
It looks great. I think it's awesome. Yeah. I love it. So,
yeah, my husband helped cut it last weekend. And then
he is a keeper. He waters your lawn and he can cut your hair. I mean, everyone in America is going to want this guy.
Yeah, COVID haircut here.
All right. Thank you very much, Amanda.
All right. Thanks.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. Podcast at rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.